Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right, sports fans, we got your mailbag questions answered today. You want them, you need them, you know you got to have them. They're all going to be 100% correct, or, and this is important, your money back. That's coming up in just a little bit. The Buccaneers were busy filling out what I didn't know was a spot on their coaching staff. But they made some moves. Remember John Van Dam was the, not the actor, but the Bucs tight end coach. And so he's now going to become a pass game assistant. And so he will help Liam Cohen do the pass game over there. And they have hired Justin Peel, a tight end coach who had worked both in Philadelphia and Atlanta, where he had a couple of Pro Bowl tight ends. So new tight ends coach added to what is, I think, pretty much a completed staff. I mean, I guess there's always tweaks here and there. And the biggest one, of course, being Liam Cohen at offensive coordinator. But so they'll have some new blood on the offensive side, and that's always sometimes good. And they got a lot of hope for their tight end. I think they, you know, tight end is a position, Steve, I think they could use some help in still. I don't think they're real deep there.
No.
You know? You love Cade Otton. You love that. But here's the thing about Cade Otton that I thought was unfair last year. He played like 96% of the snaps. That's an incredible lift for a tight end, because literally it's not like, you know, say you're a slot receiver or something and you're running a route here and there. On every play, whether he was going out for a pass, he was at least, performing as an inline blocker or, you know, set back in the backfield to pick up blitzes or whatever, or he was, in fact, running a route. So, man, you think about just all that wear and tear throughout a three-hour game. If they could find some depth at that position, then I think they could keep Otten fresher. And the one thing that Cade is that I think kind of emerged last year is, what a reliable red zone guy. Because remember the two catches he made that should have won two games, one against the Texans with about 46, 47 seconds remaining, and they gave it up right down the field to C.J. Stroud, went down for a touchdown and won it. And then the other game that they had to win was at Atlanta when Baker Mayfield had not played that well, and he scored again, got in the end zone with under a minute, and this time the defense held. So Cade Otton's been a really good football player for them, but I just think that he's out there too many plays.
Yeah, he needs to take another step up this year, but you're right, there's no depth there. And, you know, this is the NFL. Depth is what generally gets you through a season.
Mm-hmm.
And when you play 96% of the snaps in a position like that, I mean, you're running the risk of injuries and stuff like that too. So,
yeah
I think tight end's something they've got to address either through the draft or maybe a free agent signing, maybe even around training camp or so,
mm-hmm.
as guys become available. But
yeah, I'd like to see another veteran in here that's played some that at least can give you something maybe in the run game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you know you're going to ground and pound, you can get Cade out for a few plays. I don't think that run blocking is his strength, but he does. The good thing about him is he's the son of a legendary coach, and his grandfather was really a legendary coach out in the state of Washington. And the thing is that he understands ball so well, and he understands leverage and how to turn guys and all of that. But not the most dominant blocker. So, you know, there's a room there that if, say, you were going to ground and pound it, short yardage, coming out, offense, whatever, you might be able to take some stuff off his legs. But new tight end coach for the Bucs. And then this is a weird one, man. I was sitting around, I can't remember, maybe contemplating breakfast or something, and all of a sudden I saw sort of a social media post by the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, and then I got a text from someone, and it said that a guy by the name of Cameron Sutton, well, the only Cameron Sutton I know, plays corner for the Detroit Lions, and, you know, he played against the Bucs in the postseason. In fact, Mike Evans beat him for a touchdown. You remember that kind of a diving touchdown late in the game. And then lo and behold, it is that Cameron Sutton. And this is sort of horrible because they can't locate him. So back on March 7th, apparently, you know, there was a officers from the Hillsborough County Sheriff's were called to an address up in Lutz, and I believe it was Sutton's home, but it was about 4:53 a.m. in the morning, and they found a female victim who had been battered. And, you know, Sutton fled the scene, and it's been obviously several weeks now, and they can't find him. You know, he's just kind of gone, and they've been trying to locate him. He has a home in Pinellas. They've been watching that as well. But now he is wanted for domestic battery by strangulation, which is just horrible. And again, this happened back on March 7th, he's from USA. And that's when they said they found a woman inside the home who had, quote, been battered. So, you know, and I know that there's, you know, there were some custody issues, and I don't know if it's related to this. He has two children with a woman that he's not married to. And again, he's driving a Jeep Grand Cherokee. If you see him, it's a Wagoneer. The license plate is FLAZ33QB. But the sheriff's office asks anyone to call 813-247-8200. So it's kind of a disturbing story, unfortunate story. He's a guy that played most of his career, I think 6 years with the Steelers, and then last year was with the Lions. Here's the maybe not coincidental thing, is that just 5 days after this incident, and of course it didn't become public until really yesterday, but or today, but so 5 days after this, the Detroit Lions, as you recall, Steve, they traded for Carlton Davis, and they gave up a lot. They gave up a number three pick. Now they got back, I think, a sixth round or so, but the Bucs got the player and a third, or traded the player and got a third round in return. Then now you look back at it and you go, yeah, they very likely knew some arrest had occurred or something was going on with them, and I think they were interested in defensive backs anyway. But you know, 5 days after this incident, you know, they're looking to trade right now for a pretty good big corner. So unfortunate, but contact authorities there if you have any information. Hasn't been seen in his home in Lutz or Pinellas, so they're definitely wanting to bring him in. All right, so we got some mailbag questions today, one of which I think we might expand on, maybe not for the whole show, but a little bit. Not everybody exactly thrilled with the Baker Mayfield signing, so let's get started.
Well, we'll go ahead and start with that one then. So Scott had emailed you. Says, Baker is an average quarterback. I told you why, and spending $100 million on him is a joke and will set us back a few years. Save my email, as a year from now, we'll be listening to talk radio saying he's Daniel Jones 2.0. ESPN does not mention the two 47 or 48% completion games and the 51 or 52% completion game for 137 yards passing joke of a game. Or how about the Philadelphia sucked when we played them, or the interception that ended our hopes versus the Lions. 28-10 gets you $100 million. FLOL. Market, boys. March 10th, 2024. I told you he sucks. How'd he do in both years after a good year? He sucked. Teams don't just jettison good quarterbacks, and they're paying him that much. Oh, and he has a foundation? He's an ass clown is the word I get. I still remember telling everyone watching the Detroit game, here is his chance to shine, and 1 minute later, we're done. $100 million? Can he win a Super Bowl? The answer is no.
What's this guy's name? Because he writes me often.
Scott.
Scott, you are a cloud in my sunshine every day. I'm glad I don't live in your head, first and foremost, and I mean that truly. However, you can have your opinion on quarterbacks. That's fine. There's a lot of opinions. They don't cost much, and you certainly expressed yours. Dripping, I think, with a little bit of hyperbole and sarcasm, however. Because here's the thing, if we're going to talk, well, you didn't talk about the 48-point-something completion percentage. Actually, we did. I wrote about it all the time. In fact, I wrote a story that, you know, they were in this swoon, obviously, where they lost, what, 6 out of 7. And until that Atlanta game, even including that Atlanta game, while they won it on a fourth quarter drive, overall it was not a good game for Baker Mayfield or the offense. And so, yeah, we did talk about it. And the Bucs are very aware of it. But I would say this, that that's fine if you want to be a Baker Mayfield hater, and I don't think I use that term too loosely in this case. But he earned, you know, you can look at any quarterback in any season. I could give you Tom Brady and show you some real stinko games. You know what's interesting about Tom Brady, who's the greatest of all time? He won his last Super Bowl, his 7th Super Bowl, for the Buccaneers. And they did that by beating the Green Bay Packers in the NFC Championship game. And you know what no one talks about ever, like ever, is the fact that he tried to throw that game away in the second half. The man had 3 of the most egregious interceptions you will watch in a playoff game with a lead. And if not for maybe some less than aggressive play calling by the Packers on fourth down when they settled for a field goal inside the 5, they may have lost that game because no less than Tom Brady threw 3 picks. And so my point is, you know, you can do these autopsies any way you want to, right? But it becomes loser's lament, you know? Is every game going to be a good game? No. I think what the Bucs are thinking with Baker Mayfield is a couple of things. One, who's better? Who is available to them that's better? You want Russell Wilson the way he played in Denver? Did you want to make the trade for Justin Fields? 6th-round pick, doesn't cost anything, got to change the entire offense, right? You could spend another $200 million on a 36, 37-year-old, 38-year-old Kirk Cousins like Atlanta did. Is that going to bring you a Super Bowl? They beat Kirk Cousins in Minnesota last year in the opener, and they made him look bad, really bad. Baker Mayfield beat him, by the way. So, and I'm not a Kirk Cousins hater. I actually think he's a pretty good quarterback. I think he's older, and I think he's being way overpaid at this point. He's made like $300 million now in his career, or will have made. So you got to look at, okay, what's their alternatives? How did Baker play? You know, getting a team to crawl out of that hole, he had a first time, and when I say first time play caller, I'm talking about first time since Carson High School 16 years ago. You know, Dave Canales is a head coach in this league, but it ain't because he's a great offensive coordinator. You know, he just, the numbers would not suggest that's the case. Positive guy, good message guy, obviously has a long-standing relationship with a new GM in Carolina. A lot of reasons he got that job, and he might be better at it as a head coach than he was a coordinator. But it took him forever to figure out what to do with Rashad White, to figure out what run plays worked, even to figure out Baker Mayfield. So, you know, when you're on your 4th or 5th team and you could say, well, that means, you know, he's average or he's below average, that's why he's where he's at. Yeah, or it could just mean that, you know, he got drafted by a terrible organization in Cleveland, had 4 or 5 coaches in the number of years he was there, still got him to the playoffs 3rd year. Like, for every bad thing you want to say about Baker, I can say 2 or 3 good things. But it's inconsequential because, you know, beauty's in the eye of the beholder. And you're right in that several years from now, we'll have our answer. I still don't think it'll be all on Baker. You know, if this team doesn't win or continue to win, you have to look at the fact that they're getting older in certain positions, like Mike Evans. Maybe that's the worst signing they had. I don't think it is, but we'll see. You know, Chris Godwin's been beat up now for a number of years. The offensive line wasn't particularly good last year. These are all things Baker had to contend with. You look at the number of plays that would have been just, you know, dead to right sacks, and instead Baker was able to duck under them and make plays, make them with his feet, take on tacklers, you know, stiff arm guys. He plays with great effort. And everyone in that locker room, I have not met someone really in the organization who doesn't like him as a leader, who doesn't like what he stands for or his messages. You know, there's a lot more to playing the position than just numbers. And, oh, by the way, his numbers are what they are. You compare them to other quarterbacks in the league, Is he the top five? No. He's never been the top five quarterback, but he's somewhere between 10 and 15. I assure you of that. Any measurement you want. And you say $100 million, but in reality, it's $50 million guaranteed, right? So you could look at it that way, or you could say, well, it's a two-year, $25 million a year contract, you know, which probably puts him below 17, 18, the highest paid quarterbacks in the league. And it's only going to go lower. His ranking will, because you're going to have guys like Dak Prescott. You're going to have, you know, Trevor Lawrence and other guys sign. So yeah, I just, you know, Philly sucked. Well, Philly was 10-1. Okay. They're 10-1. It's a 10-1 football team. They collapsed, no doubt. They had issues internally and externally, no doubt. They weren't playing good football, but they did to Philly what you need to do to Philly. They came in here and they whipped them, you know, and they ran into what was a really good Detroit team and dragged them into the fourth quarter. Would have been nice to see him do something in that final drive and have a chance to go down there, maybe tie the game up or whatnot, or win it. Yeah, it would have been. And he threw a pick on the first play, and he'll have to live with that. But he fought and kept them in there. And all I know is that, you know, in the fourth quarter, they're tied. And just a few minutes from going to play for a championship at San Francisco. So I think for what they invested in the guy, for what he had been through, he earned, in my opinion, the right to come back here for what I think is a fair deal for both sides. You want to say it's $100 million? I say it's $50. You want to say it's 3 years? I say it's two, guaranteed. And they can even get out after two if they want to, but it's going to cost them $20 million. But the point is, until or unless you can give me better options. And if you're going to say Kyle Trask, I don't know. I don't necessarily agree with that. We'll never know, because Kyle's not going to be put in that position unless there's an injury. But there's a reason why he's not put in that position unless there's an injury. He's been here, you know, for three going on four full years. Those coaches know who and what Kyle Trask is. If they thought he was the answer, trust me, they wouldn't have spent $50 million on Baker Mayfield. They'd have let him walk. So, you know, opinions are great. They cost nothing. Everybody has one. But I think there's a little too much venom. In these are sort of the mean tweets that I talk about. Like, you know, why do you want to demean the player who's gone out there with great effort, put his body on the line? Now, he chose to play football. I'm not, you know, going to give him a medal of honor. But the point is that he lays it out there. He's not one of those guys that, you know, is going to play hot potato with a football and not stand in there and take hits. And he makes plays. You know, he leads his team. His teammates love him. He's beloved. One of the most beloved quarterbacks, and I've been doing this for a while, that I've ever seen with the Buccaneers. And that includes Tom Brady, who was also beloved. And for another reason, they just respected Tom so much because he won six Super Bowls and he put jewelry on all their fingers too. But let's not just trash Baker Mayfield. I think that for any team that doesn't have, you know, Patrick Mahomes, maybe even a Josh Allen or somebody like that, it's easy to say, because of the failure rate at that quarterback position, I'll bet you in a couple of years you won't even like that guy anymore. Yeah, that's the league. That's it in a nutshell. Very few guys, particularly ones drafted number one overall, pan out because they go to crappy teams. They get the crap knocked out of them. They do a lot of losing. It affects their confidence. And somewhere along the line, they lose their love of the game. And you got to build these guys back up. And I think Baker went a long way to building himself back up last year. And I know having the money part work out in his favor after not making much money, you know, the first 4 years, because he missed that fifth-year option. He missed that free agent year that he would have had when he got bounced around to Carolina and then the Rams. I think that will take pressure off of him, not put it on him. I think he'll be, you know, much more relaxed, because he's not playing not just for his football future. He was playing for his family's financial future. I mean, you know, this guy misplaced or had $12 million misplaced on his behalf, and he's asking his dad and his brother, who ran this investment, firm where his money is. So, you know, this is an important deal for him. I think it's an important deal for the Bucks. I think the NFC South is still there to win. Who do I like better in that division? I like Bryce Young a lot. I don't think he has enough players around him, and I think he's still very young. Kirk Cousins will make an immediate impact on Atlanta, but I don't know that Atlanta is as talented as the team he just left a year ago. I really don't. Maybe in some position, but other positions not. He's a year older, and he's coming off a torn Achilles. And the Saints are the Saints. The Saints are always going to be in it. They had the same record as the Bucks last year, but the Bucks had a better record against some NFC opponents and won the tiebreaker or whatnot. But, you know, again, has Derek Carr won anything significantly in his career? I don't know. So I think given the landscape of the position, what Baker had done to earn it, I think he earned his way back, and I'm not, thank God, as nearly as negative on Baker Mayfield as you seem to be. But feel free to, you know, try us again with your mailbag in 2 years or whatever your statute of limitations is. But I reserve the right to come after you if he does something really extraordinary, like get his team back in the playoffs and maybe win two games this time, because that's hard to do. You know, this team has been in the playoffs 4 straight years. It's the longest streak in the active streak in the NFC. So, you know, before you trash the guy that brought him the fourth one, you might want to consider that, because Buccaneer football is not littered with a bunch of Hall of Fame quarterbacks. It's just not.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Boog asked, did the Bucks get better in the defensive backfield with the free agent signings compared to the free agent signings they signed the last 2 years?
I think they did, yeah. I really do. And look, the biggest piece of that, is just no way around this, is Jordan Whitehead. You know, we've seen now for the last couple of years, you talk about better than the last few years. I mean, they've not been able to replace him. You know, when he left and went to the Jets as a free agent, you know, there was Ryan Neal and Logan Ryan and, you know, another Neal was in there. I mean, if you're named Neal, Logan, or Ryan, you're going to back up. You're going to be the guy taking over from Jordan Whitehead. But yeah, I do think they're going to be better. And look, I like Carlton Davis a lot. I liked him as a player. I like what he stood for. But that old adage, the best ability is availability, that's what's gotten Carlton Davis out of here, because you just couldn't count on him. You just couldn't count on him to be in the lineup. And to that point, between him and Jamel Dean, Zion McCallum wound up playing and starting almost every game. He had to flip sides based on who was injured. But I don't know that, you know, you feel bad about trading away a guy who makes close to $20 million and he's got 7 career interceptions for that kind of money. And then he also, on top of that, you know, is rarely healthy. So, and he only had 1 year left on his deal, and they get a third rounder for him. I think that's a pretty good contract. And I think they could do it because they were dealing from a position of strength. And then you bring in a Bryce Hall, who's played a lot of football for the Jets, you know, who has some pedigree himself, that can be a third defensive back. I think they have gotten deeper. And what I really love, because you can't just discount this, is that, you know, you've got a potential, if he plays long enough, Hall of Fame safety in Antoine Winfield Jr. I mean, this guy, not even arguably, he was named all pro. So he's one of the top two safeties in all of football. So that's a good place to start with Whitehead, who can play down in the box. Very physical guy, can take on running backs. It allows Winfield to play more center field. Jordan Whitehead is a better player than the one that left here, because when he went to the Jets, they had him in coverage more than the Bucs ever did, and he ended up improving, you know, his ability to make interceptions and affect the passing game. So you get back a better player than the one you let go, which was a mistake in the first place. You can never adequately replace him. Yeah, their secondary is, I don't know if I would say that overall, I mean, Carlton's a loss, but he's not. He's only 50% of the season. So I would say their secondary is probably 25 or 30% better than it's been with this group than what we've seen in the past.
Anthony asks, why haven't the Bucs signed an edge pass rusher?
Well, if you're just looking for a guy, they may do that. You know, it's the free agents period is not over yet. The problem is that, you know, those players that are good at that position don't typically make it to free agency. One who did was their own, right? They let Shaq Barrett go. And Shaq Barrett got signed by the Miami Dolphins, and they're hoping that for one season, maybe he can recapture that magic that, you know, allowed him to have 19 and a half sacks the first year he was here, and he had 10 another year, but really hasn't, you know, then it was four, then seven, then four. He hasn't been back on that plane since he got here, you know, in terms of his production. So, you know, there's a guy who has won a Super Bowl, absolutely impacted them to get that championship, and Miami wants to try to squeeze what little bit of football he has out of him. Those veterans don't make it to free agency typically. If they do, they're really expensive. And we know, we've already documented how the Bucs' salary cap situation is not a good one. And they focus primarily on re-signing their guys, Mike Evans and you know, Baker Mayfield and Antoine Winfield Jr. They'll probably extend Tristan Wirfs. You know, got their kicker back in Chase McLaughlin. Got their backup running back in Chase Edmonds, you know, all of these things. And it's not sexy because it's your same guys, but they're really good players. In fact, I was talking to somebody about this the other day. Jason Light's best pick ever, and it'll go on his tombstone, was Mike Evans. Happened to be his first pick ever. So Mike Evans is there. And I think Mike Evans is going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, I think 10 years of 1,000 yards or more to start a season, to start a career rather, NFL record, he keeps adding to it. Doesn't look like he's slowing down. So I very, very much think that he could be in Canton one day. Okay, so you got him. Well, here's two other guys that if they continue the arc they're on just right now for another 5 years, let's say, four to five years, Antoine Winfield Jr. and Tristan Wirfs are also going in the Hall of Fame, and they're from the same draft class. But that's how impactful and they're going to be. You know, so you need an edge rusher. They don't grow on trees, and teams don't let good ones get out for the most part. But there will be a secondary sort of free agent market, I think, after the draft. I think that's a position the Bucs will look hard at in the draft. I think that trying to find somebody that can impact the game off the edge, you know, especially if they're opposite Yaya Diaby. We're down to the one last year with Joe Tryon Shoyinka, who just hasn't been able to post any numbers. Now, maybe he will. But I think that's – the really good ones will go high in the draft, but there could be some guys in the first round that the Bucs will take a look at. And I have that as one of my top two or three needs on this football team going into the draft.
Speaking of draft, Rob had asked, what do you think the Bucs' biggest draft needs are following the recent free agent signings?
Well, that's the thing. You know, I think the thing you do in free agency, and I've always kind of approached it this way because I think teams do, is that you want to make sure that before you get to the draft, you want to make sure, especially if you're not picking in the top, you know, one, two, where you actually have some control over the player you're getting. Everybody else is guessing. But I think what you want to do is cover yourself and say, okay, how good can we get ourselves before the draft if we got to go out and play with this group on the roster right now today? Let's forget about the rookies. Forget about the fact we're going to pick anybody. How good is our football team? Do we have any glaring holes? Have we filled those holes? Maybe not with, you know, the best player they could find, but you know, can you line up and be really competitive right now? And I think that's what teams try to do. You know, I think the Bucks have tried to address areas where they could by re-signing a lot of their own guys. We've also seen, you know, some defensive backs come in here after they traded Carlton Davis. Like we've seen that. But again, the areas of concern going into the draft are sort of what they were in free agency. In other words, they signed two offensive guards, you know, slash centers in free agency from the Eagles and Giants. And I think that's a tell. I think it's a tell that in addition to not having just a dude that can play left guard right now on the roster, so you needed to do that. But I think they're looking for flexibility. I think they would look at Robert Hainsey, you know, and consider, can we upgrade there? I've seen them linked to a lot of different centers in this draft for whatever reason, you know, or guys that are projected to be centers. I think that's a position that that they could go for, you know. And they also, to me, you look at the receiver position and you go, okay, well, Mike Evans resigned. That's great. Chris Godwin's in his final year. He hadn't been the same since the knee injury, even though he could still spit out 1,000. You got some young guys you like, okay, but they're not, you know, household names yet. So this being a draft that has a lot of pass catchers, I could see them getting a guy, you know. They don't have much experience. You know, they lost David Moore. I saw the other day where he's going to join Dave Canales in Carolina. Remember the big plays that David Moore made, that, you know, when he brought him in from Seattle and, you know, made some huge plays. And so I think there's room, you know, for another veteran as well. But yeah, draft, I mean, you want to cover yourself, and then that way you're free to take the best player available. Everybody says they're going to take the best player available, but they mean the best player available at the biggest need. And to me, in the draft, they still need interior offensive linemen, even though they addressed some of that. You know, you just kind of look at the guys that have been linked to them. There's still some free agents out there. And, you know, the centers, you look at the Rams center, Brian Allen. There's some edge rushers. You know, Max Dana from the Chiefs. Another center, I think, that had some interest was Connor Williams. Chase Young, by the way, went to the New Orleans Saints. We haven't talked about him. I thought he would be a guy that would fit here, Steve.
Oh, he absolutely would. But what, $13 million? Is that what he got?
Too much money. That's it. Yeah. He got prime money.
On a one-year deal?
On a one-year make-it deal at $13 million. So you can imagine, I'm sure he was looking for more years than that, but that's top 10, top 15 money for an edge rusher, you know, at this stage. It's just hard. I mean, you know, they and Jason Light's going to get wrapped for this, that, you know, well, you didn't add anybody. You didn't really get any impact players. But, well, you know, what if down the line, what if I told you, it's like the old, you know, behind the music, but what if I told you that Mike Evans has another 1,000-yard or two more 1,000-yard seasons? And what if I told you Lavonte David goes out and has another 130-something tackles? Or that Tristan Wirfs and Antoine Winfield Jr. continue an arc that winds up taking them in the Hall of Fame, much the way Sapp and Brooks were drafted in the same draft class? What if I told you Winfield and Wirfs end up in Canton together as first ballot Hall of Famers? Like, that's what we're talking about. You know what I mean? So it's just that simple, that you got to re-sign your players. And if you have good players, and Jason believes they do, then that's got to be your focus, because free agency is fool's gold. How many great players make it to free agency? I mean, really great players. It's rare. You know, you just find, just like the Bucks didn't want their great players out there. You know, they did everything they could to keep Mike. They did everything they could, you know, to get Lavonte back and such. So it can be a little bit of fool's gold. I'm not saying there aren't some guys that didn't move around that weren't helpful. But there'll be, like I said, there'll be a secondary crush of free agency, either, you know, right after the draft, when teams don't get the positions of need that they needed, then consequently there'll also be some teams that have a surplus at a position or two based on the draft picks they made. You're going to see some other guys tumble out, and you know, there'll be another kind of another secondary rush of free agency, I think, after the draft.
All right, we get to two quick baseball questions. We'll wrap it up here. Les asks, Rick, will Blake Snell be the first player the Rays have drafted to make the Hall of Fame? Seems like he's off to a good start and winning two Cy Youngs already, one in each league. Is that kind of stat the voters love?
Yeah, I think it is. And I think he's on that arc, right? I think that's one, Steve, and tell me if I'm – I mean, you know, money and finances has always been a big deal, and rightfully so, for the Buccaneers, and we know why. But even having said all that, that might be the one that got away. I mean, you know, knock on wood, he hasn't had the arm trouble that so many of the Rays pitchers have had throughout the years. He's still dealing, right? And he's won a Cy Young in both leagues. I still go back, and so Kevin Cash till the cows come home. He'll be on his tombstone if they don't advance past it. But, you know, he was dealing in that World Series, man, and he got lifted. And, you know, there's nothing been wrong with Blake Snell and the way he's pitched anywhere he's been. So, I'm, you know, again, I know the finances of it. I know all of that. But they've had to go out and they've spent money on a lot of pitchers that if you were to just call that money together and try to keep Blake. Now, Blake is in a stratosphere now where they couldn't afford him. I mean, the guy, what was he going to make, Steve, $30-something million dollars a year over the next 2 years?
Was it a two-year deal at $62 million?
62, yeah. So he's definitely – that's like a third of the Bucks of the Rays. I'm sorry, the Rays payroll, you know, like one-third on one pitcher. You can't do that now. And I think that's why he moved, is that they saw those kind of free agent deals coming towards him. But that's one – that you would have liked for him to, you know, to have been able to stay, right? I mean, if you could have one mulligan, do you think that would be it, Steve? I mean, who else did they let go that they probably wish they didn't either have to or?
I mean, David Price had some good years after he left too. Not
he did.
I mean, not
I still
like
think his best years were still in Tampa,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. No. So, you know, obviously when Carl Crawford left, he didn't have as nearly good years when he left.
Right. I mean, they're pretty good about letting guys go when they, you know, they're either on the downswing or. Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been some young guys they made in deals, like Jake Cronenworth's done really well out in San Diego.
Yeah.
But he wasn't like a big league player that had good years here and then you let go.
Julio Adames has done well, but they've got, you know, mm-hmm. until Wander got in trouble, they were okay at shortstop.
Well, and Drew Rasmussen's who you got back, who's been one of your best starters.
Yeah, he's been great too. So, yeah. So,
you know, I mean, that's a. That wasn't like a free agent let go. That was a trade.
Yeah, that's right. Those are trade. So there's not really, I mean, that's to me, that's the one that just jumps out because he's still very dominant right now, you know. Mm-hmm. And that second Cy Young, that gets him very close to the Hall of Fame if he has any longevity at all in this league, Steve. There's not many, you know, it's hard to win a Cy Young, man.
It is.
much less in both leagues, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
he's not
and he
done
did
yet.
It.
I mean,
and he's not done. He's dominant. He's not done yet. You're right.
We'll end on this one then. Michael asks, JD Martinez seems like he would be a good fit in the middle of the Rays lineup. With opening day next week, is there a chance his price could come down to an amount the Rays would be comfortable spending?
I don't know. There's been so many of these free agents that, like we mentioned, Snell, who just signed, and yet he got a good coin. Maybe JD's priced himself out a little bit. I don't know because I don't know what he's asking for.
Well, here's one issue. His agent, Scott Boras.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So he's not signing here.
Was Snell's Scott Boras as well?
I don't remember. I mean, they traded Blake, so.
Never ask a question that you don't have the answer to, but.
Right.
But, yeah, no, yeah, Boras is not going to give any. He does not like the Tampa Bay Rays. The Tampa Bay Rays are bad for Scott Boras and his business because they don't give out. You know, giant contracts.
Yep,
like Houston or New York or someplace. So yeah, I would say that if that's his agent, you're not going to see JD in a Rays uniform, even if the bottom right. falls out of his market.
Now, I mean, would he look good in the middle of that lineup?
Oh, yeah,
absolutely.
But heck yeah,
he also pretty much only plays DH.
He's limited. Yeah.
So you know, at that point, they, you know, the Rays like their versatility. Although he's such a good hitter, power hitter, where maybe, you know, if you could afford him, I think they'd put him in there and make it work otherwise.
Well, I do too.
But yeah, as long as Scott Boris is your agent,
yeah,
he doesn't re-sign. I mean, that's one of the issues going forward with Randy Arozarena once he hits free agency, which we're still a few years away.
Mm-hmm.
But he's represented by Boris currently.
Yeah, he'll be trying to move him out of here. Maybe by that time, the Rays will know what their stadium deal is. We'll know if they got more revenue coming in, and that might. I mean, already, is this the first? I mean, the payroll, I think I saw Mark reported it's in excess of $90 million.
Mm-hmm, the highest it's ever been.
Which is, you know, you start getting in. Remember, you say, oh, these other teams spend $100 million. Well, now the Rays aren't far from that, right? So, and then, of course, if they knew they had a stadium coming, if they knew they had new revenue streams and all of that, then that might push them in that direction. We'll see. But yeah, I'd love to see JD Martinez. I'm with you though, especially with Boris. I don't see that happening. All right. Well, the Tampa Bay Rays, the Tampa Bay Lightning are on a good roll, and mm-hmm. they're going to try to continue that, obviously, on their West Coast swing.
Another late night tonight, 10:30 puck drop. So San Jose,
just keep getting later, man. San Jose's not very good, right? The Sharks haven't had a great
year. They're like the worst team in hockey.
Yeah, so maybe a chance to pick up two more points. They, like I said, man, they are on. You know, they played three really good teams, won all of them so far. So keep that going.
Yep, and we are 1 week away from opening day.
In fact, I watched the first game of the Major League Baseball season.
Wait, you got up at 6 a.m. to watch?
I was up. I didn't get up.
Okay,
but I was up, and I remembered that they were playing, and Tyler Glasnow,
yes,
pitched pretty well. For the Dodgers opening day starter, Shohei Ohtani with a couple of knocks and an RBI. So, guess what? The Dodgers are going 162-0. They're so strong, by the way. That lineup, like just looking at it.
Those two new players that they spent $1 billion on this year, they'll each combined make more than the Rays payroll. Just
right?
Those two.
Just those guys, yeah.
You haven't even paid Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and, you know, go through their lineup. Like,
tell you what, though, Shohei looks really good in a Dodger uniform. He looks like he belongs. He's going to be great for them, like they needed it, right?
Exactly.
Maybe Blake Snell can shut down that machine. He's with the Giants now. But, I think the early I haven't even looked at the single odds. I'm guessing, without looking, the Dodgers are favored to win the World Series. Am I right?
I haven't looked, but they have to
I got
to
believe that. I mean, obviously, Houston has its ways of being there, but
New York's up there because they always are. They got Juan Soto,
right. Baltimore, I think, probably is getting some love.
Yeah.
Some AL East teams, but man, the Dodgers, they've got some names to throw at you. There's not any easy outs in that lineup. I can tell you that. I didn't see any anyway. Playing in South Korea they played in?
Correct.
Yeah, that was wild. That was wild. But, yeah, 6 a.m. baseball. A little too early for me, but I was up. I'm here for it if they want to do it.
Well, in 1 week, we'll have 4 p.m. baseball at the Trop.
How about that? Opening day. Always magical. Always a great time. Love going opening day. So just around the corner, we'll be talking Rays baseball every single day right here on Sports Day Tampa Bay. Hey, thanks for listening. You can send us your mailbag questions anytime. We didn't get to you. We apologize. And you can do that on Twitter at SportsDayTB. You can reach me on Twitter at NFL Stroud, or my email address is rstroud@tampabay.com. For Steve Versnick, I am Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.